Welcome in, y'all. It is a very good Wednesday night so far. Man, we almost got the trifecta tonight. We almost got Mavs, Rangers, and Stars getting wins tonight. Stars could not quite get it done. I really do feel like, and I said this after the game one loss, I think the Stars will prevail in the end. Just too bad that they could not do it tonight. Felt like they kind of outplayed and looked like the better side, even in a loss. I don't know. I definitely feel like after watching five games of that series that the Stars will come through. But nevertheless, let's talk about the positives tonight, and we'll get to all of the good stuff from the Rangers game. We'll talk a little bit of Mavs at the very end of the show as well. But before we get started, we've got some longtime listeners in. But for all y'all that are new here at Right on Rangers, we cover pretty much everything sports, but we put a little bit of an extra emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Glad to get a win tonight after a five-game losing streak. That was rough. That five-game losing streak, it just makes you at some point, I know loss number four, loss number five, I'm just starting to feel cynical, like just expecting us to have a stagnant performance. I don't like feeling that way, but I got to admit, you know, with how bad the offense was at times during that five-game losing streak, you really just came to expect it at a certain point. So tonight, was it the offensive, like, outpouring that you probably would have wanted to see after two games of being pretty stagnant? No. I think that there were a couple of big hits, and that is kind of what the Rangers live and die by at times, the big hit. Of course, Marcus Semien, Dolis Garcia come through with the big home runs tonight to power the Rangers to victory. Rangers win 4-0, by the way. They salvage a win out of this three-game series with the Guardians. Thursday, tomorrow, off day for the Rangers before the Los Angeles Angels come to town for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. Rangers will have another off day on Monday. So the Rangers have some rest days coming up, which I think will be good for them. Always good to be able to unplug it a little bit. And for some of the Rangers, especially for some of these guys on the offensive side of things, that's probably not going to be the worst thing. But let's get into it all today. So let's go through key moments. So tight game, really through four innings. Zeros across the board. I think we have to make sure that we talk about John Gray tonight, who lowers his ERA to 2.08 on the season. I think that's good. I think I was keeping up with some stats on X as I was watching the game. I think that's the seventh best ERA in the major leagues, 2.08. John Gray finally getting that second win. It feels like with a lot of these guys, with how well some of these Rangers starters are pitching, you'd expect them to have two, three wins. John Gray just getting his second win of the season. John Gray goes 6 1/3, 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. John Gray, incredible performance tonight. Got into a little bit of trouble in that seventh inning, but the bullpen was able to come in. Leclerc comes in, gets a strikeout, cleans up the mess in the seventh, closes the book on John Gray. Glad to see John Gray maintain that zero runs allowed in his start. John Gray has been an incredible, incredible breath of fresh air for this Rangers starting rotation, as have so many other guys. I don't think that we expected guys like John Gray and Andrew Heaney and other guys like that to be able to pitch this well. I think a lot of us thought that some of these guys might end up being bullpen guys. And we were almost kind of resigned to that fact at some point, that maybe we would just see these guys head to the bullpen at some point. They're nice pieces. But now you've got guys like John Gray, Andrew Heaney, and you're wondering, do these guys belong permanently in the rotation even when the Rangers get healthy again? I'm wondering that right now. I really don't see at this point how you send John Gray to the bullpen. Even Andrew Heaney, I think, is going to be a close one. But if Heaney keeps pitching like he's pitching now, it's going to be pretty hard to send him to the bullpen as well. So got to compliment the Rangers pitching tonight. We'll get into the bullpen and their performance a little bit more in depth a little later on. But let's go through the key moments of the game. So things started getting interesting in the bottom of the fourth. There were runners on first and second. Josh Smith singled on a line drive to center field. This is the bottom of the fourth inning. Corey Seager was on second base at the time. Garcia was at first. Siegs is just not a great runner at this point, coming off of the hernia surgery. It's very rare that you see Seager scoring, for example, when he's at first base on a double in the gap. The wheels just aren't there for Siegs right now, and you know that they're taking it easy with him on the base pass, fresh off of the hernia surgery. So wasn't surprised with one out that they ended up holding up Corey Seager. It was a tight game at that point, only one out, and you have Jonah Heim coming up, a pretty good hitter. It's a tough call, but I really do feel like Corey Seager not running incredibly well right now. Not that, you know, he's just dogging it out there, but Seager just, it's always going to be dicey. It's always going to be close when he's trying to score from first, even trying to score from second on a hard hit ball. So I get it. But Jonah Heim comes up. Base is loaded. This is the bottom of the fourth inning. We're just recapping some of the key moments of the game. And you know that I've been railing on the Rangers' bases loaded opportunities and how they just continue to blunder them. And Jonah Heim grounds into a double play, one out, bases loaded. And it's just kind of the story of, honestly, the last couple of weeks. The Rangers, by my watch, have really struggled with the bases loaded. I don't feel like I've seen consistent production from them yet with the bases loaded. I would like to see more guys come through. I really thought to myself when Jonah Heim grounds into that double play, I just said to myself, you know, uh-oh. Is this going to be another night where we squander these big opportunities? And the Rangers, as I said right when I came on tonight, they are a team that does tend to live and die by the big hit at times. Yes, there are games where the Rangers are slowly tacking on, and it's just a consistent outpouring of runs. That's when the Rangers' offense is really clicking. But I do think a lot of the times the Rangers are living and dying by the big hit. And with the bases loaded in the bottom of the fourth for Jonah Heim to ground into that double play, painful, especially with how the Rangers have been going thus far the past week or so since that win last Thursday in Oakland. Crazy to think the last time these Rangers won was the second game of the Oakland doubleheader last Thursday. So it's been 6 days since the last Rangers victory. Sure is nice to get back in the win column. Back to the game. So Heim grounds into the double play in the bottom of the fourth. Then let's fast forward to the bottom of the fifth inning. So with two outs, really big at bat, bottom of the fifth inning, Leody triples, real sharp ground ball to right field. And that ends up turning the lineup over to Marcus Semien. We've talked so much as well. When Leody can help turn over the lineup, that is when he is at his best. And this lineup can be most effective. When Leody's turning it over to Semien, kind of being that second leadoff guy. And Semien comes up right after Leody and hits a two-run homer. And man, that was a wall scraper, was it not? In fact, I saw the replay just before I got on tonight. It actually bounced off, deflected off of the left fielder's glove on its way out of the ballpark. Wall scraper, but we'll take it, man. Semien coming up with the big home run, the big two-run homer in the bottom of the fifth inning. I think that gave everybody a little sigh of relief. I think that gave John Gray a little bit of room to work with there. 2-0, I did feel very, very comfortable with that lead, especially with how well John Gray has been pitching. Now, of course, you want to tack on in those situations, and you want to tack on, not just be satisfied with 2-0. But at the same time, I felt pretty confident when Semien hit that bomb. Gray could go another inning or two. We could turn it over to the bullpen and have a good shot at winning the game. In the top of the sixth, it got a little bit dicey. We had runners on first and third, one out with Josh Naylor up to bat. And I don't know, I know some of y'all were around last night when we were previewing the matchup, but Naylor is a guy that has hit John Gray very, very well. Josh Naylor came into this game hitting over 400 in his career against John Gray. I was very, very worried about the top of that sixth inning. And it always just sucks after you take a two-run lead, you get a much-needed bomb from Simi after the offense clearly is scuffling once again in a game. And it just always sucks when you give up the lead or you allow the other team to put runs on the board after you've just put runs on the board yourself. So it's first and third, one out, and John Gray is able to get Josh Naylor to ground into the inning-ending double play, a huge moment in the game. I think that was probably the most dangerous chance that the Guardians had at that point. And again, with a guy like Naylor that's hit John Gray very, very well in his career, over a 400 average coming into the game today. Josh Naylor had hit a home run off John Gray, easily the most dangerous chance that the Guardians had. And John Gray rises to the occasion, gets Josh Naylor to ground into the inning-ending double play, and the 2-0 lead is preserved. Bottom of the sixth, Adolis Garcia comes up after a Nate Lowe walk and hits another two-run bomb to give the Rangers a 4-0 lead, and the rest is history. Bullpen comes in. We talked about Leclerc doing a great job after John Gray allowed a couple, I think one or two guys to get on in the seventh. Leclerc retires the next two, strikes out one, and then Robertson and Yates come on and do their thing, man. Robertson comes in, strikes out two. Yates comes in, gives up a hit, but strikes out the side, strikes out three. Good to see Kirby Yates after looking a little rough last night. I don't know if y'all saw or were still tuned in to last night's game when Kirby Yates came on late, but Yates looked a little rough in his outing last night, and I know it's hard when you're coming into a game when you're used to being in the closer role, and then you're kind of asked to go in and, you know, get some innings, get some pitches in, and it's not the normal situation. I can understand guys being a little bit off. So I think we can overlook Kirby Yates scuffling a little bit in last night's appearance. But for him to come in tonight, strike out the side, Yates looking as good as ever. His ERA is 104 on the year. Robertson gave up a hit, struck out two. His ERA is down to 249 on the year. So Robertson and Yates, story of the bullpen once again. And I love to see six strikeouts in 2 2/3. That's a great stat. When you have a bullpen that can miss bats, that is absolutely huge and essential in October. You need bullpen guys that can miss bats. And I do think so far this season, Robertson and Yates, Leclerc, have shown that they can do that. I would still love to see the Rangers go out and get another bullpen arm, another guy that can blow it past hitters. You need bullpen guys that can get swings and misses. And tonight, the Rangers in the bullpen absolutely had that working. Again, bullpen goes 2 2/3, gives up two hits, no walks. That's a huge stat for the bullpen as well. No walks from Leclerc, Robertson, or Yates. No free passes, no free bases. And then six strikeouts. Great, great performance from that bullpen tonight. Love to see it. Glad that they got back on track after, you know, Robertson and Yates, to an extent, had a couple of shaky outings in Colorado. And then, you know, in this Guardian series, the game on Monday was tight, but there really wasn't a huge opportunity for them to come in before today. So glad to see, really, really glad to see the bullpen have a shutdown, lockdown performance tonight. And the Rangers, more often than not, in these moments, when they have a lead, 2-3 runs late in a game, have been coming away with the victory. The problem is just getting to that point, right? Getting to the 2-run lead, getting to the 1-run, 3-run lead late, right? Having the offense produce enough runs to get into that spot. That's kind of been the issue up to that point, up to this point, I should say. But good to see the bats come through with some big hits. Yeah, I mean, by and large, as you look up and down the box score, Siegs was 1-for-3 with the walk. Good to see him getting on base twice. Simi 1-for-4 with the big home run. You had Dolly 2-for-4, 2 RBI. Good to see Dolly the last couple of games looking a lot better at the plate. I think he was starting to worry a lot of Rangers fans. I think still to an extent that is the case, but Dolly looking a lot better the past couple of games. Sight for sore eyes. Josh Smith 1-for-4 tonight, 271 average. So Josh Smith has come a little bit back down to earth. I think we can, you know, call a spade there. Josh Smith was hitting over 300 for a large chunk of this season. He's come back down to earth just a little bit. We're not ragging on him. We're not complaining too much. But look, Josh Smith has done a very nice job doing what he's been doing, filling in for Josh Young. I can't complain. Not going to hate on his little mini slump here. But Josh Smith, the average has taken a little bit of a dip in the past week or so. But that's a lot of Rangers players, I mean, if we're being honest. Jonah Heim goes 0-for-2, but 2 walks, gets on base a couple of times. Jankowski 1-for-4 from the DH spot. Jankowski's been getting a lot of DH opportunities with Evan Carter out. He is hitting 250 on the year. So that's about what you'd expect out of Jankowski. We'll see what his role becomes when Evan Carter comes back. I would assume maybe the Rangers get him back for the weekend series with the Angels. Worst case, maybe after the day off on Monday, they'll bring him back. I guess it'll kind of be a feel-out thing. Backs are tricky. When you have those back injuries, it's just tough. You don't know day-to-day how it's going to do. It can be a sensitive issue, so we'll have to continue to see what happens with Evan Carter. But Jankowski, 1-for-4. Duran, 0-for-3, still batting .288 on the year. And then Leody, 1-for-4. I believe, I don't recall what he did in yesterday's game. I know Leody has a nice little on-base streak going. I think it continued. He was 0-for-3 last night, but he got on board with the walk. So Leody's got to be up there getting close to 20 games on base streak. Good for him. That is what you need from a guy like Leody. You need guys like him at the bottom of the order that can get on base and turn it over to the lineup up at the top. So perfect example tonight, Leody triples with 2 outs. Simi comes up, hits the bomb, and there we go. That is what you want to see out of Leody Taveras. This is what he can do. He has got a ton of potential. We have obviously dished out our fair share of criticism when it comes to Leody Taveras, particularly when it comes to his defensive play, a little bit when it comes to his situational hitting as well, being able to come up clutch in big moments, at least getting productive outs, moving base runners over. But Leody with the bat has been very playable of late. The defense is still a little bit worrisome to me. It rears its ugly head at the worst possible moments, but I really can't complain too much about Leody. Over the past couple of weeks, the guy has consistently been getting on base, and that is what we need with a slumping offense. Again, not going to declare the Rangers' offense is back. You know, we get shut out game one. We put up 4 runs, hit some homers in game two, and then tonight, 4 more runs, mainly just off the long ball, 2 big hits by Garcia and Simeon. It's definitely encouraging to see the ball leaving the ballpark with some of our best hitters up. So I will say that. I'm encouraged. It's hopeful. At the same time, I would like to see this offense get back to adding on more than just 2 innings out of 9. All right, because that's what happened tonight again. The Rangers put up a bunch of zeros. They get the 5th and the 6th inning back-to-back. We'll take a win, and we don't want to sit on here and complain too much about the offense in a win. We got a win. It didn't need to go to 6-game losing streak. It really didn't. We got to win tonight. Let's focus on the positive. Yes, there's always little areas to be critical, but we get the win tonight. That is huge. We could not afford to drop 2 straight series via the sweep, especially when you've got other teams in the AL West that are doing pretty well right now. Houston is on the rise. The Mariners have been winning some ball games. I don't think we're going to be hearing much from the A's or the Angels moving forward. But look, both the Mariners and the Astros have my attention. I know the Astros are still, 7-8 games below 500. I'm going to keep my eye on them. I don't believe that they're going to finish the season with a losing record. I think they're going to make it tough. I think they're going to stay within striking distance. I'd love to be wrong, but all I'm saying is the Rangers need to start winning some ball games and can't keep dropping easy series. This weekend is going to be a big one. You got to win 2 out of 3 against the Angels. I know Ron Washington returning to Arlington. I'm sure it'll be kind of a special feel-good moment, but we got to send Wash back to LA with a sweep. We cannot lose 2 out of 3 or, worst case, 3 out of 3 to the Angels. If anything, we got to be the ones sweeping. This is a great opportunity for the Rangers. You got to win in this last series. Now you get a day off, rest the bodies, come back Friday night, ready to sweep the Angels this weekend. Now, we know how baseball goes. We got swept by the Rockies, one of the worst teams in baseball. Baseball, it's a beautiful sport, and it's a beautiful sport because on any given night, any team can win. That is how it goes in baseball. The best team does not always win in baseball. Sometimes it's the team that is clicking at just the right moment. I think that's what happened with us last year. Didn't feel like we were the best team on paper last year when we won the World Series. But we were the team that was the hottest in October, and it all clicked for us at just the right moment. So I think that with that being said, we don't take the Angels for granted. but the Rangers can surely win 3 out of 3 games. I think that they need to at least win 2 out of 3. That is my hope. And let's go through, by the way, now that we've kind of gone through tonight's game, obviously Rangers win 4-0 tonight. Great for the pitching staff to get a shutout, but are we really surprised? This pitching staff has been absolutely dealing the past 5-6 games. So happy for the boys on the pitching staff and all the guys that pitched tonight. Excellent, excellent performance from them. And I don't think, looking at the box score here, doesn't look like there's anything else real notable. Rangers played error-free baseball. That's always a good thing. Felt like we were kicking the ball around a lot in that Rocky series. So glad to see tonight error-free baseball. And Nate Lowe, we didn't talk about him, had the big walk before Dolley ends up hitting the two-run bomb to put him up 4-0. Nate Lowe did have 3 strikeouts tonight. And in fact, this is kind of a crazy stat. Seager and Lowe are the only 2 Rangers that struck out tonight. That's a pretty good stat. I like that stat. Only 2 Rangers to strike out tonight were Seager and Lowe. That's pretty rare to see these days. On the other side, almost everybody struck out in the Guardians lineup, minus 2 or 3 guys. So, hey, the ball was in play tonight, and good things happen when you put the ball in play. All right, let me check some YouTube comments. What's up, everybody, by the way? I see a bunch of y'all. Let me highlight a few comments. Natalie, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Seager and Garcia, absolutely. The Rangers have these guys on the team that are getting paid a lot of money. Dolley isn't one of them, right? Dolley's getting paid, what, $6 million? I mean, but you got Garcia, you've got Semien, you've got Seager making a lot of money. And those guys do need to be the guys to carry this offense while things are scuffling a little bit. So I do think that the Rangers have enough star power to get carried when the team as a whole is slumping. The problem is when the stars are slumping and then everybody else is too. That's kind of what the Rangers have been dealing with a little bit. Of course, Corey Seager starts off the season in a big slump. Semien has been a little bit up and down. I'd say he's been on a good tear of late. But when those guys are clicking, when Semien, Seager, and Garcia are hitting the baseball, this is a real tough team to beat. When they're having ugly at-bats, striking out, just, again, not being productive up at the plate, it's hard for this team to win. We can win occasionally. We get some of the guys at the bottom of the order stepping up and doing some good things. But when Semien, Seager, and Garcia aren't right, it's hard for this team to win games, especially with Josh Jung out. I've actually never had the boomstick. I don't know how many of y'all have had it. I would love to try it one time when I go, but I've actually never had it. Definitely next time I go to Arlington, hopefully I can go to the game with some of my buddies from high school, and we can kick it with the big old boomstick. Just polish that thing off, nurse it the whole game, and just have a great old time. But I've never had one. I've never had one. It looks a little daunting, though. I'm not going to lie to you. Let me go to a couple others. Let's go Yankees. Oh, my gosh. Come on now. The only time I'm cheering for the Yankees is when they play the Astros. That's pretty much it. All right. Let me see what else. Luis Robert. Yeah. I haven't thought about that. He's, I'm sure, on the trading block. A lot of White Sox guys probably are. Do the Rangers need another outfielder? I think that's tough because you've got Langford, you've got Carter, you've got Garcia, and then you've got Leody. Now, look, Luis Robert, I would probably take in the lineup over Leody. Is it a substantial upgrade? I think that's debatable, but I will say firmly, yes, I would probably prefer Luis Robert over Leody. That being said, it's a crowded outfield right now. I don't know if the Rangers are going to be jumping at an outfielder. Again, if they did, I would gladly take Luis Robert. Luis Robert is a very good outfielder. I'm sure the White Sox are going to be sellers. Do you know, by the way, how much control we would have if we did make the trade for him? How many years of control does Robert have left before he becomes a free agent? That would be interesting to me. But if we can get that done, absolutely. But don't you kind of have to trade Leody in that deal? What do you do with Leody? You either got to, if you get Robert, you would have to deal Leody, and it would probably be for a bullpen guy. That's what I would do. I don't think the White Sox are going to take on Leody it would almost be kind of like you're swapping not the same kind of player, but Leody is going to free agency in a year or two, right? So I'm sure that the play would be you acquire Robert and then you deal Leody for some kind of bullpen arm. That's I think what the play would be. We'll see if they do it. I do think the Rangers could benefit from a Gold Glove outfield. You have Garcia already, Gold Glover out there in right field. I think Evan Carter is a great defender. In fact, you've heard me many times say, I'd rather Evan Carter play center field than Leody. I mean, look, Leody's bat has been great of late. He's been getting on base a lot. But give me Evan Carter in center field. I think he plays a better center field than Leody does. That's right. I totally forgot that he signed that very team-friendly deal when he had just come up. And that's actually been something that a lot of players, I feel like, have started to do. A lot of teams have been giving these long contracts to really, really high-quality prospects. So I forgot that Robert was one of those guys that signed one of those long-term deals with the White Sox to kind of just ensure that he was going to get paid. Look, it made him a multimillionaire overnight. Luis Robert clearly could have made a lot more money by holding out a little bit. But look, to wrap up that kind of money long-term, a lot of guys are doing it these days. You saw what the Royals just did with Bobby Witt, right? I mean, Bobby Witt got a double-digit year contract. I mean, they're paying him very good amount of money annually as well. But a lot of teams are going to this model of trying to lock up these top prospects early. Robert would be, I think, a good guy for us to go after. I wouldn't mind it. We'll see if the Rangers are in the market for a bat, though. I'm a little skeptical, but that being said, I would gladly, gladly take Luis Robert. Add another Gold Glover out in that outfield. It would look nice, no doubt, no doubt. And you know what? Mason Miller, as I look through here, I know a lot of y'all, there's been a lot of people. This isn't the first time somebody suggested Mason Miller. The only thing with Mason Miller, and probably is going to be the problem with Robert as well, is when you have those guys and you acquire those guys that have a lot of years of control left, the asking price is very, very steep. I think the A's control Miller for like five more seasons. I don't think Miller can go to free agency for like five more years. So you're going to have to give up a king's ransom for Mason Miller. And of course, it doesn't help that he's starting to get that hype train going. A lot of, you know, MLB Network, ESPN, a lot of those types are starting to catch on to this dude that throws 104, has a filthy slider. And, you know, of course, he's on the A's, so you can get a little bit lost out there in Oakland. But I think a lot of people have their eyes on Mason Miller. I don't know what the A's would want from us, what a potential trade from us would look like for a Mason Miller. But I will say this, Mason Miller would be, I think, exactly the kind of arm that the Rangers need. They need a guy that can throw high velocity and miss bats. We talked about that earlier. The Rangers have some guys in the bullpen that can miss bats right now. You add a guy like Mason Miller, a better version of Aroldis Chapman, right? Chapman, look, you got to admit, there were moments where he shined for us, but there were moments where you absolutely felt like you were going to have a heart attack when Chapman was out there on the mound. But Chapman was that guy, literally the left-handed version of Miller, a little bit past his prime, right? But Aroldis Chapman, Mason Miller, basically the same type of guy when you think about it, except lefty-righty. Chap has that 100-plus mile-an-hour fastball with the slider that comes in to mix it up. Mason Miller's got that 103-mile-an-hour fastball with the slider to mix it up. It would be great to have a guy like Miller. It's going to cost a lot. And I don't know who the Rangers would be willing to give up for him, but I can imagine it's going to be a hefty, hefty price. So we shall see. I'm really curious to see what the Rangers do as we work towards the deadline. I'm curious if CY is going to go with the Chapman model. Of course, you remember, the Rangers didn't wait till the deadline to acquire Aroldis Chapman from the Royals in that Chapman-Reagans trade. We ended up getting Chapman. Wasn't it in June? Like early June we got him? So I wonder if CY is going to do something similar. Maybe he'll end up making a trade earlier on, not going to wait till the deadline. We'll see. Let's keep going, though, with the comments. Keep bringing them on. I love it. Yeah, I think Rangers could go after a DH guy. They let Garver go. I think that's probably ending up being a pretty good decision. Because last time I checked, Garv was hitting below 200. Let's take a look and see what his average is right now. So I'm at the box score here for the Mariners. Looks like Garver wasn't playing tonight. Have they benched him? I don't know, man. Mitch Garver. I feel bad for that guy. I feel bad for Garv if he's not getting that consistent playing time anymore. Bummer for him, man. I mean, he was on such a high after after the Rangers World Series. Of course, Garv comes up with the big hit in Game 5. But I know he was hitting below 200 the last time I checked. I know I'm getting sidetracked a little bit here from the original comment. But right now, it looks like Mitch Garver is hitting. Let me see here, y'all. Sorry, slow internet. Forgive me. 174 on the year. Oof. Doesn't look like he's played since the 13th. He went 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts against KC, and he has not played since the 13th. So back-to-back games, Garver getting benched. Bummer for him, man. So that brings me back to the DH comment. I could see the Rangers trying to get a DH-type bat. Here was my question. There was a guy, and look, I don't know how he's doing right now, but JD Martinez was available. I know there were a couple other guys too. Jock Peterson for the Diamondbacks, he's having a great year. Some of these guys that are DH type guys were available. JD Martinez is hitting 286 on the year. Jock Peterson, I think, is hitting over 300. There were some guys on the free agent market. Now, I'm sure the asking price was a little high. JD Martinez signed a 1-year, $12 million deal with the Mets. I mean, that doesn't seem outrageous. But I know that the Rangers were kind of pinching pennies this offseason, but there were some DH-type bats out there that I feel like the Rangers passed on in free agency. I would have loved a JD Martinez signing to make him our DH. You don't think JD Martinez, even if Josh Young was healthy, would be helping us right now? I think he would be, absolutely. Let me look at Jock Peterson real quick. I mean, not that these guys – I mean, look, maybe they'll end up being trade pieces. You got a 1-year contract for JD Martinez. If the Mets aren't doing so hot middle of the year, we'll see what happens. Jock Peterson's hitting 296 on the year with 5 bombs. I mean, the Rangers had some guys that they easily could have acquired in the offseason through free agency that they passed up on. And, you know, I know that money was tight, the Bally deal falling through. I get it to an extent, but it was frustrating to me rehashing all this in my mind, hadn't thought about it for a while, but it was frustrating to me that the Rangers didn't go for some bats that were available on the free agency market. And then, yeah, you have no choice but to look for, you know, things like this, to look for trades, you know, a Luis Robert or a De La Cruz type. You know, you ideally, in my mind, want to keep the prospects if you can. And if there's guys on the open market that are willing to take 1-year deals, I don't know, man. I'm just a fan of if you can get a solid bat on a short-term deal like the Mets got JD Martinez, that is very, very ideal. Jock Peterson, he signed a 1-year deal. Peterson's on a 1-year deal right now, $12.5 million. So you have basically Peterson and Martinez 1-year deals, $12 million. That doesn't seem ridiculous to me in the slightest. So look, I agree with you. But if you're talking about older guys who are in their 30s, you know, baseball old, we're talking about, right? I don't mind a short-term deal. Now, of course, you want to try and lock up young guys as much as you possibly can. But I don't mind if you just need a DH and you've got some holes in the team. You've got some guys maybe coming up from the minor leagues. I don't mind signing a vet to a 1-year, $12 million deal. Now, is the long-term goal getting quality players that you have control over for an extended period of time? Absolutely. Look, CJ Krohn, I don't think would be a terrible play either. Let's look at what Krohn is doing right now. Has he even played at all this year? I haven't been keeping track. Doesn't look like he's played at all this year, and he's available. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. I agree. Team control is everything. It's huge. It's such an asset because it allows you, when you're making trades with other teams, It gives instant value to those prospects and players. But look, if you can get a vet that's going to fill a hole for you, like the Rangers have right now with some injuries, especially in this Rangers lineup, yes, you have the star power, Semien, Seager, Garcia. But with Josh Jung down, look, I wouldn't mind having a vet on a one-year deal that can help your team out. And a team like the Rangers that just won a World Series, you've got the pieces. Like, you don't have to do anything crazy. But look, I hope that the Rangers make some moves at the deadline. Let's leave it at that. I think that they'll be active at the deadline, trying to acquire some pieces. It would shock me if the Rangers just sat on their hands come end of June and July. I think they're going to be active, trying to acquire some bullpen help once again. We'll see what they do. Should be interesting. Now, let's turn our attention to the weekend series here with the Angels. We'll do a little preview with you here. So the Angels series, we have got, let's see who's going to be on the starting mound for the Rangers in that series. So on Friday night for that game against the Angels, we got Andrew Heaney throwing against Anderson. So Angels are going with the lefty Anderson. So on Friday night, Rangers are going to have to be sharp against the lefty. Lefties have kind of been the bane of the Rangers' existence up to this point. We'll see if they can figure it out against Angel starter Tyler Anderson on Friday night. I'm sure that they'll be employing their mostly right-handed lineup, so I'm sure we'll see Robbie Grossman and some other guys. But I'm hopeful that the Rangers against the Angels are going to be able to do some damage. Anderson's got a 2.92 ERA. We're talking about Friday night's matchup with the Angels, so could be a tough one on Friday night. But fortunately, Andrew Heaney has been pitching absolutely outstanding. And maybe there's some added juice there with Andrew Heaney going up against his former team. That's my hope. So right now, Saturday, looks like we have Urania pitching. And Sunday, we have Mike Lorenzen going. So we've got Heaney, Urania, Lorenzen, and there we go. So they are throwing Saturday, Sandoval. So they're throwing two lefties at us back-to-back. Man, they clearly kind of have the book on us a little bit. They're throwing those lefties at us back-to-back Friday, Saturday. We'll see what ends up happening there, man. But I'll tell you what, the Rangers have got to show that they can hit the lefties. I think a lot of teams are going to try and line up lefties against us until we prove that we can end up being successful and productive against these lefty starters. It's kind of a thing at this point. It's unfortunate, but it's kind of becoming a thing. Rangers struggle against lefties. It's why we acquired Robbie Grossman. Hopefully Robbie can bust out and have kind of his first big day with the Rangers. That's the plan. That is the plan. Well, let's wrap things up on the Rangers. Sorry, y'all. Phone's dying here. I'm going to have to plug in real quick. So Mavs tonight end up taking a 3-2 series lead. They went up to Oklahoma City, got the job done. You love to see it. I think every time the Mavs lose, everybody always in the sports media just absolutely craps on Luka Doncic, Kyrie, and it just lights a fire under them. I heard a lot of, you know, oh, is Shea about to take it over, and is he going to step above Luka? There was a lot of talk with Shea and, you know, after that game four. Look, I think the Mavs have been better than the Thunder in every game. I felt like the Mavs were the better team. The Mavs choked away that game two nights ago. I wasn't surprised to see them go up to OKC and take game five. Hey, appreciate it. Appreciate it, by the way. Go Rangers. Go Rangers. We're doing a little bonus content right now with the Mavs. Appreciate you tuning in, bud. Hopefully we'll see you again on Friday night. So Mavericks go back to Dallas. With the chance to take the series. Love to see it. Hopefully we can end it in Dallas. Don't have to go back to OKC again. But I've really felt like OKC has been the better team. Dallas has been the better team over OKC really this entire series. And I think they're going to close it out when they go back to the American Airlines Center for game six. That sure would be nice. And then we'll see if it's going to be Nuggets or Timberwolves. But it should be fun, y'all. It's always great when we've got all these teams from the DFW area doing well in the playoffs. You got the Stars up 3-2. Mavs are now up 3-2. Hopefully we can get both teams in the Western Conference Finals and we can get these Rangers on a nice winning streak as well. That sure would be nice. I am keeping my fingers crossed that we're about to get a sweep this weekend against the Angels. Man, would you love to see it. Well, we've been going a while now, and we sure appreciate all y'all tuning in. Thank you so much for everybody that continues to check us out post-game after win or loss. Trust me, it's a lot easier coming in and coming onto these lives after a win. But we're here after the losses too. No fair weather fan, absolutely. But what we would like to ask of you, and we do it pretty much at the end of every show, but if you know a Rangers fan, share this with them, right? Share a video with them. Let's get more and more people on this Rangers community. So thank you so much for passing this along to another Rangers fan. Appreciate all you. And as we always say here at Right on Rangers, God bless and go Rangers. Hope y'all have a great rest of the Wednesday night. We'll see y'all on Friday. Hope y'all have a good one. Bye now.